So how much time have we got? Does anybody know? How much time is left? Well, you probably have about an hour and a quarter left on your parking meter. There were about 14 days left until the kickoff of the Super Bowl, 24 days until the beginning of Lent. There are about 6.5 minutes left in this homily. Don't check your watches. That is not nice. So how much time have we got? There's really no way of knowing how much time we've got. People who are terminally ill are sometimes given a guess, 6 months, a year maybe. People who aren't sick could be hit by a bus crossing the street. There's just no way to know. You could ask Siri, but she'd probably just make a joke, and not a very good one. We just don't know how much time we've got. But the people of Nineveh knew. They had 40 days. Jonah, of course, wanted nothing to do with the Ninevites. They were Gentiles. Why would God be sending one of his prophets to a people not his own? They were sinners. Who needs that? So Jonah ran away, refusing to deliver God's ultimatum. And so God, in his love and mercy, had Jonah shipwrecked, swallowed by a giant fish, and spit up on the shores of Nineveh anyway. But by the time we get to today's reading, Jonah has basically surrendered, and he says what God has asked him to say. And strangely enough, the people of Nineveh repented. They don't just stop sinning, they make a big public display of their repentance. And God forgives them. They changed their lives because they believed Jonah. They believed that they only had 40 days to make it right with their lives. Like many of us, perhaps they do their best work when they're under a deadline. And maybe that's why deadlines are so popular with us religious types. St. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, tries to explain that they too were facing something of a deadline. If you read the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul clearly expects that Christ is going to return at any time. So he recommends that they live without becoming overly attached to their lives as they are currently configured. The world as we know it is passing away. And on one level, Paul was wrong because Christ didn't return right away. But he was correct about the world passing away. Everything and each of us is passing away eventually. Paul's point is that we should not be too attached to the things of this world. We should instead be attached to Christ, whose life and whose love for us will not end. In the Gospels, we hear Jesus proclaiming that the reign of God is at hand. And Mark writes that this is good news. This is the good news. So why is it that today, when anyone says that the reign of God is at hand, it always seems to be with a certain amount of fear and loathing? Somebody got a guilty conscience, maybe? When Jesus preached that God's reign was beginning, the first thing that he did was call his disciples to follow him. Does that sound like the detachment that St. Paul wrote about? The first thing that Jesus did was to detach these disciples from their former way of life. Because the reign of God had begun, he had no hesitation to call them to a radically different life. I think it's important to emphasize that Christian detachment does not mean that we don't care about what happens to the world and the people around us. The fact that this world is changing, that it's temporary, doesn't mean that it doesn't matter. The gospel always challenges us to love deeply and honestly. But it's the challenge to love the people and the creation that God loves. Spiritual writer Spencer W. Kimball once wrote, "Love people, not things. Use things and not people." And that's a pretty good definition of Christian detachment. If God's reign began nearly 2,000 years ago, why are we still waiting? How are we supposed to live? Should we abandon everything and follow Jesus? Maybe sit on a mountaintop and wait for the end? That has not traditionally worked well for the Christians that have chosen that path. The theological field of eschatology deals with our belief about the end of things and the reign of God. And our Catholic eschatology says that God's reign is begun, but it's not complete. Christ himself inaugurated God's reign, but we're not there yet. And this means that there is still more for us to do, more for us to hope for, and more for us to live for. God is the one who brings about his sovereign reign. But we work to support it when we work for justice, when we make peace, and when we order our lives so that Christ has priority for us. That is good news. That should dispel all the agonizing over how much time we have left. Because all of our time, here and hereafter, belongs to God. Time's up.